welcome to Validate Me, which is a podcast where me and my dad show each other things that we love and hope that the other person will validate them.
Yeah, so some of our favorite fandoms, different media of different types. We've been through several different things so far, and so far it's actually been really fun. I'm really enjoying doing this. I'm having a blast with sharing. You shout out to my buddy Harold. Who made that intro for us a while back for the YouTube channel, and we're resurrecting it. We had a really cool, like, if you've been watching the YouTube channel for a while, you probably remember the long intro for the videos, which we loved, but it was a little too long. We're actually working on making a shorter version. Not a shorter version of that, but a shorter new intro for the channel, which I think is going to be super cool. Anyway, thanks, Harold. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
It's awesome. I love it. Every time I hear it, I love it.
Your buddy chum pal.
My buddy. That's right. Cool. So, this was you assigning to me, so why don't you kick us off?
I assigned him, a few of the best episodes, in my personal opinion, from Monster Factory on Polygon with Griffin and Justin McElroy, and, it's, like, one of my favorite things. It was my first proper, like, McElroy media involving two or more McElroys.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. So I've been listening to The Adventure Zone, Taz. As it's known, as the young kids call it. I've been listening to Taz and really loving it. Like, I'm just finishing the Crystal one.
Crystal Kingdom? Yeah.
Or actually, I just finished the Crystal Kingdom, and they're in their, like, interlude. So they're back on the moon base.
Nice.
Spoilers. And so they're between missions, and I'm about to launch whatever the next one is. It's really, but like, Kravitz. that was my first experience.
Do you have Kravitz or Loop yet?
Kravitz, definitely.
You have Kravitz, yay! I'm proud. I don't know I don't remember which arc he came in. I'm very proud that you know who Kravitz is now.
Probably this one. We'll talk about it more later.
I'm proud of you.
This is not about that. Oh, it is about the McElroys. This is
the
McAvoys.
McAvoys.
Whatever. I'm not going that far. So last year we were at ClamorCon.
Yeah.
And there was
this was so long ago.
Was it ClamorCon?
No,
it was something. NerdCon. It was like playlist. NerdCon. Playlist Live.
No.
Oh, was it NerdCon?
Yeah, it was NerdCon.
I don't know. We were at one of the conventions that we go to. And there was a meetup for McElroy fans. The McElroys weren't actually there. It was just hey, let's get together and talk about the fandom. And Presley was like super, super psyched to go. And she's I have to go to this McElroy thing. And I was like, all right, I don't care. There's this other thing I want to go to, so I'll drop you off and I'll go to the McElroy. Or I'll go to my thing and you go to the McElroy thing. And so they were just like sitting in a big like peace circle on the floor when I dropped her off, and she had her drawing materials. And so I dropped
drew Taco.
And I was like right outside. And I had Presley talked about Taco all the time. I had no idea who Taco was. And so like my mental image of who the McElroys were, I didn't know any of their content. I knew nothing about their content, right? I just, by looking at the people that were in the room for the McElroy meetup, and just for some reason, the name, the McElroys, like the brothers and stuff, like it was not who the McElroys are.
What did you think?
I don't know. It was a much more, I want to say like Dude Perfect-y group of guys.
No.
Not that they made Dude Perfect videos, but they looked vibe. More they were dudes.
They were dudes,
and they are not dudes, right?
They're dogs.
They're more like me, which is awesome. They're like me's, and so
they're me's.
They're totally me's, right? I could not possibly relate to these guys more, right? And they're super super funny and smart and talented.
Yes.
I got to be Ditto.
Me too.
You're right.
Hey, same hat.
Right. So yeah, they're phenomenal, and I've only dipped a toe into the pool of content that is the Mackleverse.
Yeah, the Mackle. It sounds like you're talking about Macklemore.
And Macklemore. And so I've done Taz, and now I have done Monster Factory.
No, because you have,
Presley,
done
I have done some. I have dipped my toe into Monster Factory because Presley introduced me to it, and I had heard her talk about Monster Factory before, and I had no idea that it was the same people.
It is.
Yeah, no clue. And they're doing, it's even like on a different thing. It's not part
of, Polygon.
what's their
Maximum Fun,
which I got another one of my buddies is super obsessed with Maximum Fun, has the Rocket tattoo now, and like loves it, and he's been telling me forever,
I really want that,
you should check these guys out, you should check these guys out. And he even told me about the Taz podcast, and he was like, you should listen to this, there's this thing. And then I started listening to it because you told me to listen to it.
Yes.
And like these things started happening, and I was like, I called him up, and I was like, dude, or I saw him at work one day or something, and I was like, dude, what was that podcast that you told me I should listen to with the D&D thing with all the craziness that was happening? And he's like, yeah, The Adventure Zone. I was like, oh my God, I'm listening to that now.
Yeah. Told
me, I'm sure he was thrilled that I finally started listening to it because you told me to listen to it.
Oh yeah, and just like a fair warning
for
the listeners to this podcast.
Yes.
I'm going to say about 50% of the content I will do on this podcast is going to be McElroy created because I am...
In the short term?
Yeah.
I'm actually totally cool with that because I'm really enjoying their content. I will throw out a caveat that if you're thinking about going and checking out Monster Factory, which Presley did not throw out this caveat last time, it is a little not safe for work.
Starts the video with this video.
There's heaping mounds of profanity.
The last one
that I listened to left Justin wondering what comes after explicit in the Apple podcast rating system. He was afraid they were going to have to try and figure out what's the above explicit rating.
It's them, the McElroy.
So yeah, be prepared. They're pretty loose with their profanity.
There's a lot of profanity. There's a lot of inappropriate jokes. It's right up my alley.
Yeah, no, I laughed out loud. I listened to one of these. I started watching these, and so these are YouTube videos too, by the way.
Yes.
And we will actually talk about Monster Factory eventually. I started watching these while you were on the set of the student film that you did, right? And so it was me and a bunch of, not all, but a bunch of stage moms. Just in picture in your head a bunch of stage moms. That's not entirely accurate picture of what was going on there. But just picture it's like me and a bunch of stage moms. And we're in this, Presley was shooting in a school, so we were just in a classroom in this like private Catholic school.
Yeah.
And so I just went in and put on my headphones and fired up my laptop. And I needed to take my notes and watch the stuff and do my homework, which is awesome. This is my homework.
Yeah.
I had to do my homework and watch Monster Factory. And I just started laughing, like, out loud. And like, not just, like, giggling. I don't giggle a lot. But not just like, a little, like, snicker. Let's do snicker instead of giggle. I didn't snicker. I mean, I was, like, belly laughing. Like, to the point where I was afraid I was going to interrupt the filming that was happening in the next classroom. Because there were some things that happened in this that were just outrageously funny. Like, these guys are super
very
awesome.
Funny.
Okay, so then, all wait, of that. Wait. Oh, I'm sorry.
And
yep, go ahead.
Was like, yeah, while you were doing that, like, if I was in the waiting room, I would just, like, turn over and, like, be able to approximately guess where you were.
It was, like, personally, like, once you found out I was watching him, there was lots of questions about where I was and what I was watching.
Yes.
Okay, so having said all of that, why don't you actually tell us what Monster Factory is?
All right.
And then I'll tell you what I thought it was before.
Oh my God,
I watched it.
So Monster Factory is a series on the Polygon Game Review YouTube channel starring Griffin and Justin McElroy.
So that would be Ditto and Taco.
Juice.
Did you look up Juice? Is that what it was?
Yes, it is officially Juice.
I knew it was another J thing.
Juice and
Taco to me.
Juice from 17776. He's here.
I like Ditto. I love the nickname Ditto. I think
it's
nickname.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah. And yes, I relate very heavily to Griffin. Even though I am the older sibling, I relate to Griffin a lot. Anyway.
All right. Juice and Taco. Same person. Ditto and Taco.
Ditto and Taco.
And what do they do?
And they play with the character creation sliders on various video games to make the monsters... I cannot describe what they do without swearing. I can't. They putts with it very much.
Yes.
It's bad, nasty.
Their goal, largely, is to, like, bork the system, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's see just how jacked up a character this system will let me create.
Oh my God, yeah. And in one of the videos...
Sometimes they try and actually recreate someone. They use a theme.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but some of the videos, they kind of come up with a theme and they want to create, like, Bart Simpson was one of the ones that we'll talk about.
And
Shrek.
Garfield.
Like, they're trying to create, like, something approximating this one other thing.
But they're not doing... No, they're not. They're just calling it Shrek.
Hashtag just like Bart.
Just like Bart. Should I get a tattoo that just says just like Bart?
You probably shouldn't.
I really want
to. Not yet. Like, well, now. Like, talk to me in, a while. Okay, so yeah, so they go in the character creation screen. So they only play games that have customization, character customization.
Yes.
But they will pretty much play any game that has character customization.
Any,
so
yes.
The quality of the game is irrelevant. The quality of the character creation screen is critical.
Very relevant.
Yes. And so people ask them like to play different things. Yeah. And a couple of these games that we're going to talk about, I've played. And I think it does make it better when you've played the game. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, Fallout, which has a really good character creation screen.
You were Fallout.
I loved that. So I did. I played a lot of Fallout. So I knew what was going on. And then,
with the console commands in Fallout?
I have not. I was actually fascinated by some of those. And then what's the Dungeons & Dragons-y one?
Skyrim.
Thank you very much.
You don't remember Skyrim?
I don't remember the name. Like, I played that. I've blocked that from my memory. I played that so much. here's a little...
I am Cyber Garfield.
So there's one of them. I actually get to play a clip. I don't have a huge number of things on my soundboard today, but I've actually got a Garfield. Yeah, like, they just go in, and I thought, initially, that's all it was.
Oh, no, no.
That it was trying to create some travesty of a human being.
Travesty.
Or maybe a human being. Not always a human being, but sometimes. Sometimes what they create is more like...
It's a human ransom note!
that's one of my favorite quotes from the whole thing. So they try... It's a human ransom note, right? Like, if you, the old school, like, Columbo episodes where you get a magazine or a newspaper and you... I'm going to mention Columbo in every one of these. I'm going to make you watch Columbo, in fact. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about that. I have to make you watch Columbo. I so love Columbo. One of the greatest pains of my life is I never got to meet Peter Falk.
Aww.
Like, I really, if there's a list of people that I wish I could have met that I didn't get to meet, he's the top of the list, man. I love the guy. Anyway, so old school Columbo, like ransom note where you get newspapers and magazines and you cut out random letters and you glue them on the page to put a thing down. So the human ransom note is generally what they're trying to build. Like the most random thing. And they found character creators I didn't even know existed that allow you to create asymmetrical faces. Like, that is crazy. You can have, like, one eye is different than the other eye. Like, okay. Totally. Like, a different place on the head. Like, there's totally... Asymmetrical
faces are supposed to be so that you can have like a slightly crooked nose, like some people have, or like an eye that's a little bit like people generally have. It's not meant for what they did.
Well, those sliders go way, way beyond a little crooked
Every
nose.
Slider goes way beyond. That's what sliders are meant for.
No, so I thought, hey, we log into the Fallout 4 character creator. And we make the final Pam, and then thank you all.
Bye.
Like, no. That's what I totally thought the show was, and that made sense because it's Monster Factory, you make a monster. But that's not even the best part of what they do. Like, I thought that's what they did, but that is not what they do, and it is not the best part of what they do. The best part of what they do is then they go play the game as that character.
It's amazing.
And just as their goal was to try and break the character creator, not break it, but create it, sometimes break it, but more make a character that was never intended to be made out of that character creator, they also want to break the game when you can break the game.
Yeah.
And so things like you said that have God mode, that have like console cheats, like Fallout did it definitely, and Skyrim did it. Smart. Like, they go nutty.
They
and
break
it is
it.
So funny. And it is funny to me because they are entertaining themselves.
Yes.
Like Griffin can make Justin laugh like nobody's business, right?
Oh, yeah.
And like something that like we wouldn't even think was super funny, but he knows what Taco thinks is funny. And so Taco will just laugh uncontrollably when he... And like, I even learned more when I was trying to pull some of the sound clips for the board, because like, I want to pull Justin saying something funny or I want to pull Ditto saying something funny, but I have to cut it before Taco starts laughing because Ditto, like, because he just laughs. And so even in my editing, I can see how much he laughed. So yeah, it's really funny. So they create these crazy characters and then they just drop them in the game and they go crazy.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions about, like, with the big overarching stuff before we dig into a couple of things that we watched. So the machinima, I asked you about this the other day. Do you consider this to be machinima?
I don't. Like,
and
well,
tell people what machinima is in case somebody's listening and doesn't know.
Machinima is a genre of storytelling where people tell stories through using video games and video games characters, like Red versus Blue.
Yeah, Red versus Blue being the big one.
Yeah, the biggest one. Ruby was one for a while, but I think they actually got an animation engine recently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, telling stories through video games.
Yeah, so I think Ruby may have used a game engine.
Yes,
but it didn't use a game.
there right. was supposed to be a game, but I don't know if that ever actually came
out. Well, no,
out.
But I think that's... Oh, that you think they wrote the game engine and used it, and then they were going to release the game later.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Red versus Blue was in Halo.
It was in Halo.
So they, and just, then, they just played Halo
yes.
and recorded it and did voiceovers for the characters. Mm-hmm. And, like, that got so big that Microsoft added features to Halo for Red versus Blue.
Yeah.
Be, like, being able to put your gun away was one of them, I think. And, like, there were a couple of different things that... That Microsoft actually, or Bungie, I guess, at the time,
yeah.
Actually put into the game to make Machinima work better.
Right.
But yeah, so you're telling these stories. It's almost, it's not stop motion, right? But it's voiceover. But yeah. everything is acted out in the video game and screen captured in the video game, and then they just put voices on top of it. And it's actually remarkable, right?
I
argue that at least
Pam.
Some of what we watched was Machinima.
Pam is Machinima. The final Pam is absolutely Machinima.
Like, can you do Machinima in Second Life? Because the Second Life stuff felt pretty Machinima-y too.
Yeah, that was pretty right? Machinima-y.
Like running for mayor and doing that kind of stuff.
Three-part series, the trilogies, I guess,
mm-hmm.
were definitely Machinima, but the standalone episodes I wouldn't consider Machinima. Also, good, very good example of Machinima is Aphmau. Because
oh, cool.
I really love Aphmau, and mm-hmm. you should go watch her videos.
Right.
Yeah.
What about, like, is Stacey?
Stacey does some Machinima.
Or is it more like Let's Play kind of stuff?
She does both. She does okay. mostly Let's Play. This
All right. So I like Machinima. I love
yes.
Red versus Blue.
Have you seen Red versus Blue? I haven't yet.
Yeah. I love how well Red versus Blue is done, probably more than I actually love Red versus Blue itself. Mm-hmm. I love Ruby.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some really amazing stuff out there. And I think a lot of this falls into Machinima, but it's certainly not serious Machinima. It's super, super, super funny.
Really?
And this is actually... Oh, this is an interesting thing too, in the overarching thing. So when you're looking at Second Life,
mm-hmm.
specifically, like I don't like prank shows and prank channels
no.
that prank randos,
no.
right?
Yeah.
So like if you're pranking your buddies, I got no problem with that. Like that's funny,
and you
sort of have this agreement
like
that we're
going
to prank each other. Like Thomas Sanders, if you're doing that kind of stuff, I got no problem with any of that. But if you're out in public pranking randos, I hate that.
Yeah.
I find it mommy will tell you, like, I hate inconveniencing other human beings, like
yeah,
hugely, like
so
I'm
much.
Really against it. And like almost anything I can do to go out of the way. I don't like putting people out in any way. So certainly pranking a stranger is not
yeah.
something I would normally do. So they kind of do that like in Second Life.
Right, but the thing was
But I really
Second
loved
Life,
it. I was totally
yeah.
cool with it.
No, the thing
because it was virtual.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, it was. The thing with Second Life is you should not be that serious playing a game, playing Second
but
Life.
But that's not your call. Like, it's the same thing
yeah,
as
yeah.
like pranking somebody. Oh, you shouldn't right. be that serious. I played a prank on you. Don't worry about it. Like, just
right.
because. But
it's a video game.
No. The fact that it's in a virtual world, I guess, makes me less concerned about it.
Right.
And, like, oftentimes, like, it looked like they were tweeting out some of the places they were going and what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so people were kind of in on it, were, like, coming around. Like, sometimes they were dropping in places where people weren't expecting
vote.
Them, but sometimes they'd write, dogs should vote. Like, it was just funny. And maybe it's because it's a video game. It was funny. I do
yeah.
think dogs should vote.
Because, right. yeah, and, like, just because it is a virtual space that, like, the other people had control over it. And the thing about...
Oh, they can mute you. They could, yeah.
And the thing about this is, spoiler alert, when they're throwing the party and the renters got mad at them.
Yeah.
They Griffin compensated the renters. He paid them
yeah.
for their problem.
I couldn't get a good read on how serious all of that was.
No, he was like actually like they were really cool people and
right. But he
I
like violated
them.
The terms of the rental and
yeah.
stuff like that. Like I couldn't get a good read on that. Anyway, that's why we're getting in the weeds. We're already
Ooh.
Getting in the weeds. Okay, let's talk about a couple episodes. Do you have
all
anything
right.
else to say? Like super high level?
Super high level, no. It's good. You should
it's
watch
real good.
It.
It's funny. If you have a tolerance for profanity and
if you're not that one guy from
scatological humor in some cases.
If you're not that one guy from what is the name? The name of the guy from
yeah.
for first time?
No, winner of 68 or 62 or something like that. I think they changed
the
it. They changed it every time. Winter of or win, yeah yeah.
Winter.
Yeah, I think it was winter.
Is it winter?
Yeah,
really?
Winter. Like the season.
Oh, I thought it was winter the whole time.
Oh, I think it was winter.
Oh.
Yeah, like the winter of 82 kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's from.
It feels like the first time, which is what kind of what inspired us to do this podcast.
Foul Zone and the Mooch.
That's
that right.
Makes me so mad.
Because
we're not, I promise we're not insulting Steve Zaragoza.
And the even better part is that Falzone's not even on that podcast.
He's not.
But it's still Falzone and the Mooch. doing Feels Like the First Time, yeah, which is fantastic. We got to watch Lost. We haven't watched the Lost episode in a while. We've listened to the podcast, and we haven't watched Lost. We got to get back to that. We just watched the Hurley Lost episode. It's so good. So good. Man, that's one of my favorites.
Are we going to do we have an episode of this podcast which we haven't talked about Lost on?
I don't know. We're going to talk about Columbo and Lost every 2 weeks. We did, by the way, we were doing this once a week, and we're scaling it back to every 2 weeks because it's a lot of work to get a podcast done. Especially because you have to spend several hours doing the prep work, and you got to take notes, and I got to get the soundboard put together. We got a lot of stuff to do. And we're doing a daily. You guys know what's up. So we're going to do 2 weeks. So that's why there wasn't one last week. So you probably noticed we're already doing 2 weeks. But
yes, it was not a Christmas break. It was 2 weeks. We changed the schedule.
Yeah. Okay, cool. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. We are talking about
Cyber Garfield.
Garfield. Woo. And it's Garfield written as an acronym with periods after each. Although they never tried to even come up with what the acronym would be, which would have been awesome to listen to them. All right, and what game are we playing?
We're playing Skyrim. And really quickly, since we're talking about acronyms, there's...
I am Cyber Garfield.
There's... what is the... Oh, never mind. I was going to bring a Vine up that I really liked, but now I can't think of it. It's the one kid from It, and he says, what does something blank mean to you? And it's something something octopus grandpa, and I don't remember the actual word, but it's interesting. And if someone can find that, can you please link it to me?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the kid that plays, I don't know, I haven't seen it, but I think it's Richie. I don't know.
All right, I think, so let's talk about Garfield. What are your thoughts on Garfield?
Garfield, I'm going to say this a lot during this podcast now, by the way, valid. Garfield is valid, and it's a good Cyber Garfield. It was one of the first times they started doing horror in there.
Okay.
Monster Factory, which they do a lot.
What horror? What do you mean by horror? I don't know.
Well, the ending of it, having Garfield deleting all of the pictures and taking over the internet. It's a proto-Pam.
So that's total machinima, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was this whole side plot where...
the side plot.
They decided that in the Skyrim world, currency was pictures of lasagna. JPEGs of lasagna that Garfield was trying to consume. And so he was trying to consume all of the lasagna JPEGs in the world. They had images of the lasagna JPEGs going away and stuff. Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, that, I forgot about that even. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I've got maybe my favorite line from the show is, it's debatable if cats have souls.
This is not the line I thought you were going to bring up. I thought you were going to bring up the other one. Whatever. No, cats have souls. Fight me. I will specify that I am neither a cat person nor a dog person. Mm-hmm. I'm neither.
Yeah,
but
as a cat owner, I agree that it's debatable.
I am cats a cat owner. He's my cat, and I love him, and he has a soul. He's just really mad a lot.
Oh, no, I've even got a note here that says lasagna images as currency. So I was going to, that would have reminded me if I got there. Okay, cool. What was the quote you thought I was going to say?
In Dark Souls, you press randomize 2 times, then you get Squirtle.
Dark Souls, you press 3 buttons.
3 buttons.
And yeah, and you're there.
You got Squirtle.
Yeah, look at that. I got that one. Yeah. Awesome. I actually did grab that one.
Yes, that's a good one.
Dark Souls. Dark Souls was pretty good, too. I like
Dark
that.
Dark Souls. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was also going to mention... Whoops. Okay. I was going to mention that I have played... I play games because of Monster Factory. And out of this, I have played Spore, which I actually played before Monster Factory.
Yep.
I played some Fallout 4 before, and then I started playing Fallout 4 again because of Monster Factory. I've played Second Life for, I got really obsessed with it for, a week, and then I stopped playing it entirely.
Okay.
And then, I played Skyrim a lot, too.
Yeah,
and then
Skyrim.
I haven't played Black
Desert Online. We need to do that 3D Skyrim.
Yes!
The VR, PlayStation VR Skyrim.
Denifil made a video on it, and I'm refusing to watch it until I've actually played it.
Okay, we'll do some over Christmas. It's about to be a break, so we'll definitely do that. Okay, cool. I think, I can't remember, this comes up a lot, so this is one of Taka's favorite things to say. Justin.
Okay.
Of course it's about Taco. Juice. Across several of the things. Let me see if I caught this one good.
Not like this.
Right? I think it was he was falling in. Something happened. Because I know in Second Life it said it a lot when he was dropping off and stuff. But it came up a lot. Whenever he was about to die, you would always get Justin's.
Not like this.
And so I even started to grab a couple of clips of this. And this is a terrible story. But what this reminded me of is when we lived in Texas, I was taking a nap on a futon with Bear. who was you know, the dog that we had before Clyde, right? Beautiful, like phenomenal, like loved Pooh Bear. He was
a good boy.
He was definitely a good boy. And he went to Hawaii with us and made the trip and did all that kind of stuff. But he had his first seizure when we were taking a nap. So I woke up to him like convulsing and having a seizure and like totally freaking out. And so like I panicked like you do. And was kind of freaking out and didn't know what to do. And so I thought he was choking on his tongue, which people think people choke on their tongues when they're having that thing.
They don't.
And so I did put my hand in his mouth to kind of pull his tongue out, and he bit through my hand because he was having a seizure. So he bit like all the way through my hand. But while he was having these convulsions, like I just knew he was dying. Like something had happened and he was dying right there. Like I was trying to hold him down and stuff. And I yelled, "Not like this."
My God.
Like this
Why is this the story you think of?
This is not the way I want this to happen, right? And so while I have this horrible story that goes with the not like this, now I have like a funny
not like this
connotation that goes yes. along with it, that helps ease the pain of not like this as an expression that existed in my brain because of that one moment that's frozen in time for me.
I love that one because it's very monotone.
Yeah, that was the best one that I heard. There were some where you kind of yelled and kind of like did some different things, but just a little like
not like this,
just a super flat like yeah. I think it's funny. The first time I heard it, I didn't think it was funny because of that story I just told. But over time, like I thought, it became like a funny mantra. And now when I hear that, I think of this instead of thinking of that. And that's a really cool thing.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And I'm pretty sure the first time I heard it was in Garfield. And I think this flat one came from Garfield.
Not like this.
But he was doing things like spawning 100 dragons and making giant horses that he could kind of ride under in weird ways, and like it was
the
just like
horse.
He was breaking the game. So he was using God mode and cheat codes and was totally breaking the game.
And he flooded the jail with horses.
That's right. He wanted to see if he could put enough horses in the jail cell that it would break the door out to try and escape. And then one of the horses just like quantum appeared on the other side of the jail cell. Yeah, there was some quantum uncertainty that happened that the horse leapt to the other side of the bars. Hilarity ensued. That was a super funny one.
Speaking of quantum things, quarks, yeah? Those are quantum things.
Yeah.
I only say quarks. Mm-hmm. I refuse to say it anywhere on that.
No, they're quarks.
Quarks.
They are quarks.
But it's like quarks. I say it like quirks or quarks.
Maybe you say quirks when they're quarks.
No, I don't say quirks. I've never said quirks because I was talking to someone about it today and I was like, quarks? And they're like, that's not right, you pal. I was like, yes, it is. Fight me.
All right, what else you got about Garfield?
Garfield. I love just like the concept of Cyber Garfield. This is possibly like, we were told that Mabim Bam, which is another McElroy property.
Yep. My brother and me.
Yes. Spawned Garfield the Deals Warlock. But it also could have been this episode, and we don't know. I mean, there was a medieval Garfield. How many of those can there be?
I'm looking at my soundboard to see if I have anything else that I think comes from this, but I don't think so.
Garf. It's a good Garf.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's switch to the sequel to Dogs.
Woo!
All right, what game are we playing, the sequel to Dogs?
Spore!
Spore.
It's a not good video game.
This
a bad video
not
game.
Make me want to play Spore.
Oh, I have Spore if you want to play it.
I do not.
I have it.
In fact, I do not. It looked like a horrible game that crashed all the time.
It's not a good video game.
It shut his computer down, like in mid-recording.
It turned his Skype off.
It caused all kinds of problems. Now, that said, the sequel to Dogs was pretty funny. And it made me... One of the things that made me... I realized, like, you know, Presley starts saying words... Not like repetitively, but word becomes like a focus of her vocabulary.
Yes.
Like valid is right now.
Valid.
You will hear
so
her.
Valid.
She will say valid many times. she started calling everybody pal. And then when I watched this, I got this.
Hey, John, why do you have wings now, my pal?
Or my pal. Even my pal.
I call
my pal.
My dude.
What's going on, my
which
pal?
Is also, yeah, okay. So I get a lot of my vocabulary from the McElroys. As you've probably noticed, if you watch my videos from like a year ago, I talk much more formally. And then there was this point where I got into McElroy stuff, and then my formal vocabulary just whoop.
I think it was funny, while I was pulling stuff down for your speech, like clips. In the John Green thing, you've said, like, I'm homeschooled, and so I used to use textbooks to learn about like science and math and biology and such. I totally forgot about you saying and such. You used to say and such all the time.
And that's not correct.
And such.
And such. And such.
It was really cute seeing little you say and such. All right, here we go.
Hey, John, why do you have wings now, my pal?
Yeah. So I say my pal. I say my dudes a lot.
Yep.
I say dog. I say there's a creepypasta that is like buddy chum pal homie home slice bread slice dog, and I say that a lot.
All right.
So, and a lot of that is because of the McElroys, and like also my speech pattern went from being very enthusiastic to just being this weird like flat Griffin thing, mm-hmm. and that's because that's Griffin's fault. Yeah. I talk like him.
I'll blame Griffin. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Backpack for his applesauce. Backpack where he keeps his applesauce. Jom's got the applesauce that you crave.
Everybody catches Juicy Jom Wave.
I really want to make that my ringtone.
We can do that.
Yes. I have a lot of things I want to make my ringtone, but I don't know how.
All right, talk to us about Jom.
All right, Jom, actually, casual. Jom is their one of three spore creations that they have made.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm including the B movie. Anyway, one of three spore creations they made. It is the sequel to Dogs. It is Dogs, but better.
They also made a Minion.
They also made a... Yeah, they made a Minion.
Banana. Banana.
That's my favorite. That's what the Minions should all sound like in that movie.
No. Minions should sound like nothing in that movie. I am vehemently anti-Minion.
Yeah, I like that. That was good enough. I grabbed it.
Banana.
Also, this is one of the first, at least it happened sometime in this trilogy, this is one of the ones where Griffin uses the word Sisyphean.
The first time he used it, because he uses it a lot.
He does. He says this is like a Sisyphean.
It's my Sisyphean task.
Yes.
Yes.
He says Sisyphean a lot.
Because he did it in Fallout, because he was saying, like, when he broke the game one time and he opened the fridge, he couldn't drink the nuke cola. And so it was like my Sisyphean task to drink the nuke cola out of the fridge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And if you don't know what Sisyphus is, it's a Greek myth. And if you don't know what the Greek myth is, then why are you watching my channel? I love Greek myths too much for this.
Yeah, so it was the guy that had to push the rock up the hill, and every time he got towards the top, it fell. And he had to go back and try and push it back up.
So, and I confuse his myth a lot with Tantalus.
Futile task.
They're different.
But who?
Tantalus.
Oh, Tantalus.
Because he's in this pool of like water, and he can't drink it. Like every time he goes to drink it, it lowers, and then there's fruit. Every time he goes to grab it, it goes up, and he's tempted to eat it, but he can't ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Constantly.
Basically, the fields of pain don't sound like a great place to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay, cool. So what do you got on sequel to Dogs Jom?
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because you are very much a dog person. You mentioned this a lot. Is Jom better than Dogs?
Jom is not better than Dogs.
Really?
Yeah. Even the backpack version. Although I like putting a backpack on a dog so he can carry stuff around, like, you know, making him a pack animal. You carry your applesauce, I suppose.
Was your interpretation of backpack where he keeps his applesauce was like the things you get in school, like the cup of applesauce?
Of course it was.
It?
Yeah.
Because apparently, according to everyone else I've spoken to,
just loose applesauce? No. Yeah. It couldn't be loose applesauce.
That with like applesauce.
A, like a terrible idea.
Well, also, it's Jom.
And actually, the Jom thing, the backpack where he keeps his applesauce, was in Trek.
It was in Trek.
They were still doing Jom.
At the beginning of
Shrek, before they switched and decided to make Shrek.
I'll look into your... And one of my favorite lines from this is... And also, I've watched these videos, like, 5 times this week. Where they're talking about the name Jom.
Yep.
And it's like, it sounds like a weird hippie thing.
Yeah.
Like, I will look into your mind and cleanse your Jom. And it's like, that's good.
This is the first time that I saw them do, like, the horror movie, like, freeze frames.
Yeah.
Where they would freeze and go black and white with like red eyes and kind of zoom into it really slowly with the horror music and stuff. I thought that was a really nice touch. Like Doki Doki Literature Club. I see a theme developing. I thought that was pretty good. I wrote down Spore is so good you have to play it twice because I'm going to eat your data.
Yeah, that's what Spore is like. Also, do you remember what the planet, I guess, I don't think I'm allowed to say this on the podcast rip, the planet before... the Jom planet was called.
Oh, like the one they had to delete at the very beginning? I don't know. It'd have a butt in it?
No.
What, can you say it on the podcast?
It was Hochberg.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we'll edit that out again.
It's a good trivia bit. Did you miss it, Mom?
Yeah, don't say it again, because I don't want to have to bleep you twice.
It's good. It was a really... And then that's what I've named my most recent spore save.
All right, hold on. What is this from?
Are you ready to take a step into my imagination, Justin?
I'm pretty sure that's Spore, right? That's the creator of Spore.
Yeah.
Are you ready to take a step into my imagination, Justin?
Are you ready to see my delicious spores? Sometimes I wish my little creatures would eat me, don't I? Also, that was... that line, which I just said, are you... sometimes I wish my little creatures would eat me. That was the first reference of Vore on Monster Factory.
What's Vore?
Please don't.
Okay, don't. All right, let's not even go there. All right, you ready?
Don't look it up, please.
All right. No, I won't. Oh, that's the one you've told me not to look that up several times. Okay, well then stop talking about it.
I had to. It's important. It's relevant because Vore is mentioned a lot.
Okay, what about this one?
This is untenable.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
That's Justin. Like, that's a perfect Justin.
Yeah, I keep
this is untenable.
Because that actually sounds a little like taco.
This is untenable.
There was this one thing, and I think it was in Garfield, where he's like doing this bit, and he slips into Taco's voice.
Oh, really?
Before pre-Taco, Taco voice.
Yeah, that totally sounds like Taco.
This is untenable.
Yes, because I do have this thing where I focus.
So you think Taco is just excited, Justin?
Yeah, it's just excited, Justin.
Nice.
And I do, like, there's this like thing that I focus on a lot, which is how people's voices change depending on different things.
Yeah.
So seeing, like, it's like this weird, like, slightly lower, slightly more Justin-y version of Taco.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, seeing that was like, whoa, that's so cool. That's cool. The pre-Taco voice.
Okay, let's talk, let's see what else I got. So B-movies and Shrek, you know, talk about B-movie, because I know you love B-movie.
I don't actually, okay, B-movie, okay, so the storyline machinima thing behind the B-movie in, were you going to say something?
No, 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 go ahead.
Behind the B-movie in this series, not the B-movie starring Jerry Seinfeld, that came out in, like, 2000 something.
Whatever.
Anyway, the B-movie, the creature in the Monster Factory Spore series was, and Spore has done this to me before, where Spore will save your creature, but it won't save your game data, so you'll have to start all the way over, and then when you come back, the creature will be one of the randomly generated ones.
That was kind
of
nutty.
It was really scary.
That was a little scary, yeah. So the game crashed on him after he had created the B-movie creature, like Preston was saying. And then, but the whole thing crashed, and he had to come back and maybe even start a new planet at that point.
Yeah.
And went in and did some evolution, and then he was traipsing through the forest, and the B-movie guys attacked him.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So
nothing
cool.
else survived that crash, but yes. Spore created the B-movie guys, and they were, like, indestructible. They were,
oh my God, they were.
They were a force to be reckoned with, for sure.
They finally defeated them, though. That was good. That was a very satisfying moment in video game history.
Okay, let's move on, because...
No, I need to do my B-movie.
Oh, I thought that was your B-movie. Okay, do your B-movie.
No, according to All Known Laws of Aviation, there's no way for a bee to be able to fly.
False.
I know, it's false. This is the bee movie we're talking about. Anyway, according to All Known Laws of Aviation, there's no way for a bee to be able to fly. A bee, of course, flies anyway. Wait, I screwed up again. I forget one line in this thing. I can do it. I promise. I can do the whole intro to the bee movie.
All right, let's go.
According to All Known Laws of Aviation, there's no way for a bee to be able to fly. Its wings are just too small to get its fat little body off the ground. The bee, of course, flies anyway, because bees don't care what humans think are impossible. And I can go for about 5 more lines, but I'm not going to keep making you do that.
Hey.
That is my B-movie.
Kudos.
I have a goal in life to have the entire B-movie script memorized.
Why the B-movie script?
Because it's, I don't know why the B-movie was chosen to become a meme out of all the movies, but right. It was.
Well, you know that on the teleprompter software that we use.
I have the B-movie script.
It came with a B-movie script.
No, it didn't. I put that
Did
there.
You put that there?
I put that there.
I thought it came with it. I was like, I thought that that's the weird test script that they put in the thing for you to play around with.
Oh. No, I put that there because I was like at summer camp with my friends and we were chilling and I was like, I have a teleprompter app. Do you think we could do the B-movie script? And they were like, yes. And so I went and I got it and then I put it on the teleprompter app. And then we went through about an hour and a half of B-movie script together.
On the
and that was
very
that
nice.
Was very fun.
I totally thought that came with the software.
No,
you
I
did
wish.
That before I spent any time with it.
I totally wish.
Okay, cool. So let's we got two big ones to get through.
All
so
right.
let's do Second Life first.
All right.
Because there's a chunk of Second Life and Second Life Second Chances.
Yes. Okay. So starting with the Second Life episode. This is like the actual character creator in Second Life is pretty nice.
Yeah, and so this is the first one I think that had the asymmetrical face.
Mm-hmm.
Or body, even, I think.
Oh, but I guess definitely asymmetrical face. Body, too. Yeah. So Second Life's character creators actually are pretty cool. I've played with them before to try and make an actual human being.
Yep.
And it was decent. It was really good. Anyway, to the boy mare. There's a lot there. There's a lot of good lines in this series.
The boy mare of Second Life.
The boar mare.
The boar mare. That would have been even better.
Lost. We're talking about Lost.
Well, I liked when he got stuck dancing. I thought it was super funny. And he couldn't figure out how to stop dancing. And he was just running around the whole universe dancing. And he's like, how do you stop? And he had to Google it. And apparently it's a common problem that people can't figure out how to stop dancing.
Yeah, that was very funny.
I liked the boot on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And you can attach stuff to just random parts of your body. Like he stopped. What did he get? Like some orange juice or something?
Just
and
he's
like, lemonade, let's attach it to my neck. And it just like they had a glass of lemonade attached to his neck. I thought that was pretty funny.
And then there was that part. Oh, wait, that's later. That's the Second Life. Second Chances. Never mind.
I've got
Second Life ruled this whole time.
I don't know anything about Second Life except I watched one documentary, People Found Love on Second Life. And that's a direct quote from the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting concept to me.
But that's pretty funny because they're finally in it and like playing around and people have created the world. And
Second Life ruled this whole time?
Oh my God. Why didn't anybody tell me?
Was Second Life like a known thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Everybody's known about it. Yeah. But everybody assumed that it was not something that they would want to play. Right. And so once they got in and started playing, they're like, oh my God, this is fantastic. Oh, see, I think this one's part of it too.
Game of the year.
I think that was Second Life.
I think that was about Second Life.
But I'm not positive.
This marks
Game of the Year.
And this series marks the second mention of Vore in...
The mention of Vore or occurrence of Vore?
This one is a first occurrence.
Mm.
There was a mention of it previously. But yes, they went to a furry Vore playground, which was
fun. Oh, did they
really?
Did they actually...
They didn't... Most of it got cut out, but there was a bit of them talking outside of it. And there was like all the attachments you could buy, like just chilling. And I was like, oh, okay.
I'm glad they cut that part out. Okay, cool. Let's see what I got. So I loved how the as they adjusted the height of the boy mayor of Second Life, his collar height didn't change. So he was said that the collar is the measuring stick for the height of your character. And so it was like all clipping through the collar. I thought that was super funny.
Yes.
And then the hair clipped and like made it look like he had two heads, which was,
it was
super creepy, like creating those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then just running around getting kicked out. Like, it was kind of cool. Like, I didn't know the concept of, like, you owning a plot of land.
Oh, no,
I don't know how you acquire a plot of land.
You have to buy one.
And then you can make it restricted or let people in or not let people in.
Yeah.
And watching them get kicked out of several places and just booted out. That was another occurrence of not like this when they got booted out of a place and were just falling.
And they just fall into the ocean. It's great. Okay, so let's mention a couple of notable boots. So there was the most iconic of them all, which is, I think dogs should be able to vote.
Yeah. So the Machinima story in the Second Life arc is that he's trying to run for mayor of Second Life.
Yes.
And so he's just running around to people trying to convince them to vote for him, and nobody knows what he's talking about and what's going on.
And one of them is like, I'm not American.
And it's like a dog world.
Yeah.
And so everybody's in dog form. And so he says,
I think dogs should be able to. No, he doesn't. That's in the political club. Wait, I don't remember this dog world.
No, they were like dogs. That's why he said that, because there were a bunch of people hanging out as dogs.
There was an alligator lady? Wait, well, I'm confused.
I don't think that counts.
How did I miss this?
Like, he didn't just randomly say, I think dogs should be able to vote. There was like a dog there he was talking to.
He was talking to a dog guy. And then he said it later. Okay.
Yeah. And then he brought it back later.
Yes,
yeah,
I think dogs should be able to vote. I thought you were talking about a specific instance. And I was like, alligator lady?
Yeah, I like the, how awesome must the rest of Second Life be if this place is abandoned? It was like an abandoned amusement park.
Yeah, and it was really cool.
Well, yeah, it was really fantastic. Like, how awesome must this other stuff be if nobody's here?
Answer, not very.
Yeah, well, we learned the answer to that question as the game went on. Okay, what else you got for Second Life?
I just, like, love when they get booted and they just fall into the ground. I love... Okay, so I'm going to talk about, like, during the second episode... There are, like, the transformations of the boy.
The first episode of Second Chances?
The second episode of Second Chances.
Oh, the second episode of Second Chances. Like, yes. The third episode of the Second Life arc. Yeah, yes. Okay, I'm with you.
And where the boy mare goes through the transformations and he's at, like, this club. And he just like turns into this teen with
and
a
he's
boot
like,
on his head.
And he's like morphing, right?
I know.
Like, it's the craziest like morph effect. Like, it's
Animorphs.
The game is pretty cool. Like the engine that does that work is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But then it was cool that like Justin saw him one way and he saw himself another way. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then he said, "I wish you could see you the way I see you." And Griffin was like, "That's a nice sentiment."
That's Justin. A very nice sentiment.
That was a good part.
That
and
was
then
good.
At the end of the episode, he's just like walking around from Justin's POV as like this teen, and then just whoop, Boimer.
Yeah, he just, but not even Boimer.
No,
like, he
like
came back to
weird,
like this weird combination of teen girl and Boimer.
No, because he got older. He was like this adult.
Well, Boimer. I know it was this weird like
it was
combination
weird
of
and
characters.
Scary.
It was an interesting and it was frightening. In fact, yes. But the whole arc was super funny, and they had like Preston was talking about before. They had this huge party.
Yeah.
Where Justin rented a plot of land from somebody. I don't know how you do that. And so he had rented this place where he could even build. And then, well, he built the doghouse, right?
Yeah.
Because this all goes back to the dogs being able to vote. So I guess he was inviting the
was
dog people.
He was secretly a dog the whole time.
And then you could go through this. And then there was this huge place up in the air.
A skybox.
A party
That's what
pad.
They're called. They're
Is
called
it a skybox?
Boxes.
Okay,
yep.
It was a skybox. It was the party pad. And so they just sent out on Twitter that they were having this party. And so they just started crashing all these zones. And like bringing in more people.
And, and then we have to talk about Duran Duran.
They were running against Duran Duran in the election for mayor.
Also,
of
I
Life.
Wasn't aware that Duran Duran was a known band until I saw... Like, I didn't know Duran Duran was a thing.
No, they're definitely a thing.
Until
they have their own world in Second Life.
Yeah, and then I was in the car with you, and we were driving somewhere, and then it says, by Duran Duran, and my brain just, Duran Duran!
They put on,
Second Life.
Like, they went to a country bar, and they were all line dancing in the same outfits.
No profanity, no exceptions.
And so they were... The people that were running that zone were kicking people out, and so it was just this huge like group of line dancing avatars in the same outfits, and they were just vanishing like one at a time.
It's almost scary.
Yeah, and Justin is like, "How are they not getting us? Like, of all of the people, we're the people that don't get booted out of the server." Right? And so, yeah, you were just watching these people vanish, and then at the big party they had, there was like a giant floating horse head. That came and was hanging.
There's a T-Rex, there's a dragon.
There was some crazy
there
stuff
lot. There was
going
Bart,
on at that party.
Bart was at the party.
The spinning unicorn.
Just like Bart.
Just
was
like
at
Bart.
The party.
Yeah, just like Bart was
Which
at that party.
This was not the first instance of sliders, asymmetrical sliders, because Bart had asymmetrical sliders first.
Did
and
he?
That was a reference to Bart's episode, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, Bart was very
But that was Second Life? Where did Bart was...
Bart was... Black Desert Online, or Desert Island, as you called it.
Oh, maybe I've got them in a weird order.
Yeah,
I have
them in a weird order.
I also have this.
Eat pants!
Is that a Simpsons reference? I don't
it
understand.
It is totally a Simpsons reference, because Bart, in The Simpsons, his catchphrase was, "Eat my shorts."
Oh.
So just as a kid, he'd be like, "Hey, eat my shorts," right? And so you've got like Cyber Bart.
Eat pants!
He wasn't cyber. He was just Bart.
Well, that's his kind of cyber.
He was just Bart.
Cybery voice.
No, eat pants!
That's just
he
what
was.
Bart
he was.
Like.
He was just like Bart.
It was just like
But yeah, the eat pants.
Eat pants!
But yeah, it comes from eat my shorts, which I thought was super, super
I'm gonna
funny.
I'm going to make Bart do a lewd gesture. That
and,
was great.
And...
So
no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Was it Bart that he
it
did
was
that?
Bart.
Oh, in the Black Desert.
Yeah, and now I get so
that
confused.
That was so funny.
I keep
it
thinking,
was so funny.
I keep thinking you're talking about Bart from Dirk Gently.
Because it was so
confused.
Hard for him to get that to work. Like, he put in so much effort and time to finally.
I'm so proud of you, Griffin.
Make that happen. Because. What was the... Because Justin at first said, "Are you trying to blah?" And he goes, "No,
we're
doing something else." It was really funny.
Was
I was
so
trying to
good.
Get... Oh, he's like, "Are you trying to get him to give the finger?" And he's like, "Oh, no.
We're
That was super funny. All right, I liked that.
I guess we're talking about Bart now. Well, I mean...
Yeah, so let's go to... That was Black Desert?
Yeah, that's Black Desert Online.
Yeah, so
or Desert Island.
Yeah. All right, so I got Bart here. And so they were all like these super uber pretty boys. When it first started, right? Like
they
your
like,
default characters were all of these like glistening. This is the glistening male models, right?
Yes.
They were all like well oiled up for some reason. And he's like, "I thought when I started the game that maybe the oil factor would go down a little bit, but that appears to not be the case."
They can make it go up very much.
I've never heard of that game.
Can I? Oh, really? I heard about it when the character creator was out for free because the character creator was so good.
So they did the thing where they released the character creator. And
yes,
then
and it was for free.
Game.
Yeah, and then
didn't Spore do that? Like the creature
Spore
creator
did that.
Was yeah. Okay.
And then so Spore did that anyway. So this is a game I really want to play. Like, I don't actually want to play the video game. I just want the character creator because I want to make my OCs in it because it seems really, really good. And
like hours and hours and hours of character creation if you wanted to do it. Yes. Yeah.
And can I say, thank God that the prettiness factor was pretty much even for like the male and female avatars. They were both like beefed up pretty. Yeah, there was like beefed up revealing clothing pretty boy or beefed up revealing clothing pretty girl.
Yeah,
and that was
oily.
Good. Oily. Yeah. Very oily, both of them. Why do people do that? They make everyone so shiny. Is that supposed to be attractive? It just looks like they dumped oil on you.
Yeah,
and
like bodybuilding competitions and stuff, they oil up real good because it makes them, I don't know, maybe it shows the definition better.
I don't know. I don't know. It just makes them super shiny and scary.
No idea.
Anyway.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump to...
Rat Baby. Or are we going? Are we still talking about Bart?
No, I think we're gonna jump to the final... Pam.
We didn't talk about... Wait, we should do the final Pam as the final thing.
Well, this is the final thing, isn't
it? No, we didn't talk about Rat Baby.
I don't know. What's Rat Baby?
Rat Baby is Blade and Soul.
Oh, Blade and Soul. Okay, let's do Black and Soul real quick, and then we got to get to Fallout, because we're going to bang up against our time. I think we're probably going to spend a little time on Fallout, so let's get to Fallout.
All right, Rat Baby. Rat Baby was good. Rat Baby was valid. I want to cosplay as Rat Baby.
Oh, yeah. That was like the little chibi-looking girl.
Very little. And then there was... Oh, what's his name? Do you have any notes?
No.
The name of the guy that existed only so that they could resurrect him and then bring back Rat Baby?
Oh, right. Yeah, no.
That was really touching.
I must have watched that away from my laptop because I actually don't have any notes for Blade and Soul.
Oh, really?
But I do remember Rat Baby now, and I thought that was super funny.
I want to cosplay Rat Baby.
It was funny to be able to do...
That small.
Yeah, that small of a character with a character creation thing. I thought that was super cool.
It was good. Anyway.
Speaking of small, at the beginning of Fallout... Using God mode in Fallout, they're able to make like God mode, where you fall through the atoms that hold the floor together, apparently. But then you can shrink down and find junk Hulk.
No, it's Trash. It was Trash Hogan. Trash Hulk. And then also Trash Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
They've called him both.
Oh, Trash Hulk.
And also just Hogan. At one point.
Right. So Trash Hogan. Wait, so one of my favorite things. So Fallout, I think, was the best arc.
Yes.
And maybe it's because I played it, but also the final Pam was one of my favorite characters, and I thought that the gameplay and the god Pam mode and the cheats and like everything in this was just super, super, super funny.
I don't know these people, but I follow them on Tumblr, so I know them, that cosplay the final Pam, and it's really good.
But when she, at the beginning of the game, when they used the god mode to do like the kill all. And so, like, when they're all running for the bunkers do a kill all, I do this. And like, everybody, even the guy flying the helicopter dies. And so the helicopter crashes in her backyard and it created
how your backyard barbecue go. The Smiths. That pretty was good, super funny. It doesn't seem.
And in the end, when they.
Next time you invite Pam.
When they made everybody immortal in the end and the helicopter pilot somehow survived. And the thing. Well, everybody died, or everyone survived. It's amazing. Oh, except the helicopter pilot. And then he's like, standing in the corner like Butter Witch Project. Like, oh my god. That was super funny. That's jumping.
Just this once. Everybody lives.
Just jumping to the end there. That was super, super funny. All right, let me see if I've got some other things. Oh, I've got.
You better have a lot.
I don't. A lot here. I actually don't think I have a lot. I have.
Hello, Metal Husband.
Don't tell Trash Hulk.
About that relationship.
So they're, the voices are super, super, super funny. And,
very good.
I love. And that's part of, it goes back to Adventure Zone, right? His ability to be a good DM and sort of keep voices for everyone.
The DM voices are very
Hello, cool. Metal Husband.
Do you have anything about my son?
I don't think I, no.
You have no son?
I don't. I got notes about his can of peas, son.
It's a can of coffee grounds.
Oh, I didn't get the, I didn't get the ones that, well, he said can of peas.
Yes.
But then when he actually found a can, it was coffee grounds.
Yes.
But throwing the can up in the air and catching it. And then when the field of ghost boys.
My field of boys!
And I actually don't have that. I thought I had that, but I don't have that on the board
that's
right
really
now.
Sad, but yes.
Oh, what was. Oh, no.
This is untenable!
All right, we did that one. And we think that came from somewhere. Let me see if I've got anything else I'm super missing here. No, Game of the Year. Into My Imagination.
We didn't do that one.
Yeah, we did.
Are you ready to just take a step into my imagination?
We totally did that one.
Yes.
I've got my pal.
My pal.
Not like this. Human ransom note. Untenable. You get a Squirtle. And, Second Life rules.
Metal Husband.
Yeah.
And Metal Husband.
Well, yeah, Metal Husband.
Metal Husband.
Yeah, Metal
Husband. Anyway, yeah.
Hello, Metal Husband.
This one is very relatable because... if you have ever spoken to me about a fictional character in my lifetime, I will have said they are my son, usually.
Yeah.
And that's just because a lot of fictional characters, or my daughter, but usually my son, because males dominate the fictional character field. Anyway.
So one of the things I really loved about this, too, is when they were doing the character creation, if you've ever played Fallout, you know, the way you pick whether you want to be a male or a female character is they're both standing in front of the bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
And the person standing in front of the mirror is the one you're adjusting, and the person standing behind them. And so while they were doing the final Pam, or like the first version of what they were trying to do, the husband's like standing behind her, watching in the mirror as she's putting her makeup on, let's say. And they're like, yeah, he should look way more horrified about what's happening here. And so they switch to him for just long enough to give him like this horrified look on his face, and then put him back in the back, like while they were messing with her face. And he's like standing behind her like, oh my God, what's happening?
Like, we look as good as the day we first met in that lab.
So I thought that was super funny and super clever. I was very, very happy with that.
Yes. And I have this like really horrifying baby doll we got at a thrift shop. Macklemore. Uh-huh. Or back to Macklemore.
Yeah.
At the thrift shop. And I named it Pam because of this.
Is that where Pam came from?
That was where Pam came from.
Yeah, I also got to hear that they cut Justin a couple of times. Like, during the character creation, Justin would say something like, oh, he looks just like... And then... there'd be a cut. And it wouldn't come back to it or anything. Like, it would just be gone. And, like, I have no idea... if he, like, said the name of one of their buddies that they didn't want to put out in the world or something. But, yeah, it was just super funny. Just like Bart. Like, I thought that was funny. Yeah, I've got the accents, which is the metal husband.
Hello, metal husband.
Like that. And that carries through the whole thing. So it was super funny. And so they even do... Okay, here's a bunch of Fallout spoilers, too.
So if you haven't played Fallout, don't watch the video.
Yeah. If you haven't played Fallout, don't watch the Monster Factory, because you see a bunch of stuff. But like, even when
it turns out you were Fallout the whole time.
We were Fallout the whole time. When you're in the like cryogenic chamber and they wake you up midway through and they take your husband and child out of the other side and you're trapped and you're watching everything that's going on. She did the kill all again until those guys died, and then the husband stands up and picks up the kid and like, oh my God, you're just trapped. You're like, get me out of here. Like, they couldn't find a way out. And the thing, but yeah, I was like watching them try and break the game in those ways and like change the scale on everything. Like, that was one of my favorite things, was watching how they scaled things.
Right. And then I really like
it was Rochi. Yeah. Rochi. Oh, somehow I don't have Rochi on here.
Rochi. He's your favorite guy. Hey, did you know that roaches love to break dance?
He just carried this dead rad roach around for quite a bit of time, and that was super, super funny.
Rochi died.
He was dead the whole time. But at one point, after they got engaged, he despawned with a wedding ring.
I know.
Engagement ring. Was it a wedding ring? I think it said a wedding ring. Yeah.
And then, at the very end. Rochi came back. He was Schrodinger's Rochi.
Right. More quantum uncertainty taking place in the world. That's a theme, another theme of this podcast.
Quantum uncertainty.
Yeah, it was super, it was one of my...
it's so good. Rochi Pam was pretty is awesome. So powerful.
Yeah, the final Pam is pretty powerful.
She is very powerful.
Yeah.
I am awaiting...
And they broke Fallout several times.
And
it was another instance of, like, how many things can we spawn in one place at one time? And then, like, what can we blow up and what can we not blow up? Like, trying to spawning all the mines into the places. But then, yeah, the field of ghost suns.
It has a McDonald's playpit of boys.
Oh, the... I totally forgot about this, too. When he realized that he could resurrect stuff, it became a mission to, like, really jack stuff up in the game. Like, blow stuff's heads off and legs off and stuff, and then see how he could resurrect it and how it would all come back together. Resurrect. And, yeah, how juicy it would be when it came back resurrected. And some of them were pretty hardcore. And then sometimes, like, if you're fighting several people, they kind of fall on top of each other. And then when he would do resurrect, it would resurrect both of them back as some new combined creature.
An amalgam.
That was very much...
No, it's an Undertale reference, you fool.
That was very much... Much like it reminded me of The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. Like, there are a couple of scenes in that where these, like, you know, multiple, there's a creature that can make itself look like something else, but it takes time. And so it's trying at one point to make itself look like several different things. And it's just this crushed together horror. And some of the things definitely look like that. I thought that was pretty funny. This was as much breaking the game as possible.
And then there was like a surprising lack of, there's just a Bethesda feature where if you resize something and then kill it, it like spaghettification commences. Yeah, they didn't spaghettify
this time, right?
They didn't spaghettify enough. Yeah,
but they did fly away in a really super funny way. And he had like the giant dog meat running around attacking stuff.
So good.
Like
that was,
there were a lot of
things. I love dog meat. Dog meat is really valid.
I definitely loved much about this.
Yes.
So, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
For introducing me to the McElroys in general and to Monster Factory in particular in this case.
Because you're going to have a lot of McElroy content to watch in your future.
I really did. I thought it was just them sitting there creating a character and seeing how jacked up a character they could make and then moving on and doing something else. But watching them play the game is by far the best part. And they're just funny. And you know, part of the reason I think that they're funny and fun to listen to and watch, you don't really watch, you don't see them, I guess.
Yeah.
But listen to those guys is like, they do not seem like they could possibly care less whether you're going along with what they're doing.
Oh, no.
Like, they're entertaining each other.
Yeah.
And like, their primary focus is just keeping each other happy and entertained and making each other laugh. And, like, it's a very, very genuine kind of thing.
And I would like to say that McElroy humor, along with my next assignment for you, which is John Mulaney humor, is the millennial humor.
Is it really?
That's awesome. The millennial humor.
A millennial or Minecrafter?
They're not called Minecrafters, it's Gen Z! And both of them, I'm like, I'm like a few years too young for a millennial.
Yeah, you're a Minecrafter.
I am Gen Z, but I'm like kind of a little bit on the border. Right. Like my friend group has a few millennials and a few Gen Zers. But anyway, it's like that's what humor now is, and I'm very glad that you can like relate to it and think it's funny. Because that's good.
Oh, no, it's hilarious.
It's very good.
It's throwback humor, though, because it's very much stuff that...
Yeah, and then I was watching it, and this is something I totally forgot to mention.
My boyfriends would love this, too.
Oh, my God, we were having a conversation about this. Stop! Anyway, and then there's this thing, I was watching it, and they were like... And during Final Pam, when they were turning Metal Husband into a human... They said, it's a Lady Hawk situation.
Oh, and did they? I totally missed that. I'm sure I heard it and thought about it, but I forgot.
And I didn't, like, obviously I watched this before. I knew about Lady Hawk. And I was like, oh my God, Lady Hawk. Mm. And then they mentioned a bunch of different movies we watched because of Ready Player One.
See, that's because they're referencing my stuff. That's not millennial stuff.
No,
that's
but
Gen
their,
X stuff.
Their sense of humor is very millennial.
Right, but they're throwing Gen X references. They may even be Gen Xers.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, but they have shaped millennial humor. Like, they are Gen Xers, but they are the Gen Xers that are shaping the humor of the next generation, for good or for worse.
Do millennials come after Gen X?
Yay.
Or is there a Y?
I think, there's a Gen Y. Wait, but no, millennials are Gen Y.
Millennials are Ys.
I think
and
so.
And Minecrafters are Zs?
Yes.
Okay. And then it's going to go to AA.
No, and then there's just no more. Humans just, humans are over.
I think it's going to do like Microsoft Excel and go to AA.
No, after I think Z.
Presley thinks it's like the Mayan calendar. And once you get to Gen Z, there are no more generations.
Humans are over. It's going to be like a 17776 situation where they just are mortal.
When does Gen Z end?
Not yet.
How long is a generation?
I think a generation is until... like a majority of them start having their children. So until we start turning like until we start getting in our 20s and 30s and producing child.
Yeah.
I'm
and people are waiting longer and longer. So I wonder if a generation would be longer because people don't have their kids until later. Well, people are also just making like career decisions and things like that live life decisions. Like we didn't have you until we were later in life than a lot of people have kids.
Yes. Until we start, I guess that would mark the end of the generation, and then humans switched over. They're
gone. Like 40 years. There's no more. I think it's going to be like 40 years or something. We'll look and see. We'll do some research about what an official generation is, what that means.
Official generation.
All right, my turn to assign homework.
Yes.
Yeah? So 2 weeks from now, we will be back here, and we will be talking about two of my favorite Christmas movies. And... I'm going to talk about the movies we're not going to do first.
You're addressing the camera like you're on The Office.
No. I'm thinking. This is my thoughtful, like, up and to the left. Whichever. Does that mean I'm lying or I'm thinking about, I'm reflecting?
Both.
It means nothing is what it means. So We're not going to do National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation because we watch that every year. It's family tradition. It came from my family.
We also watch Rudolph every year. We watch a lot of like the old Elf Practice, like
claymation Rudolph thing.
What? Yes. Why were you at Elf Practice, Dad?
All right, so we watch National Lampoon, so that's a given. We watch that. I'm a pretty big fan of Elf.
But yeah, Elf was my favorite. Was like my favorite movie for a while when I was really little.
And so, but we have watched that, and you have seen that many
times. I don't
remember
a lot about Elf.
So to watch stuff that you haven't watched, we're gonna watch one classic, and one modern classic.
Yes.
And the classic we're gonna watch is It's a Wonderful Life,
which we were talking about with Doki Doki Literature Club.
That's exactly right. Like, because it is the sort of theme of what would the world be like if I had never been born and being given the gift of being able to see your impact on the world.
Right.
Beautiful movie.
Is there any psycho anime girls trying to delete everyone?
There are not. I really, really, really love this movie. And I have always loved this movie. And I'm happy this time of year. I haven't seen it on, oddly enough, this year. Right. But when it's on, I like to watch it, even bits and pieces.
Like Scott Pilgrim?
Like Scott Pilgrim. It's pretty long. And it's kind of a couple of different movies all rolled into one. But it's a perfect Christmas movie. Like, I really, really love it. And there's even a couple of things from it that... like me and a buddy of mine talked a long time about mixing one of my boyfriends.
No.
We talked about that we were going to mix it into like a remix, like rave song, like an EDM kind of thing before you called it EDM. Well, like just a couple of clips, like taking clips and mixing them into a thing, right? And so I'll tell you what those are after you watch them. So yeah, we're going to watch It's a Wonderful Life, and I'm going to be very happy to have seen It's a Wonderful Life. And then we're going to watch one of the most hotly debated Christmas movies. As to whether it's a Christmas movie or not, but clearly it is, so it shouldn't be hotly debated.
It's Die Hard.
Die Hard.
And I didn't think
we're going to watch the first Christmas movie. We're going to watch the first Die Hard. That's why he's in town. Because, it's for the Christmas party.
Well, if I don't know, anything or he's about not
for
Die
the,
Hard.
He's not there for the Christmas party. I don't know, but he's there for Christmas. Yeah, he's there for Christmas, and they're
and
having
Christmas a, play a big.
They're
part.
Having a Christmas party,
or
in
is
the,
it just
the
that
office.
There is a Christmas party?
Well, it takes place at Christmas.
Okay, fine. Christmas movie.
Therefore, it is a Christmas movie.
I know actually nothing about Die Hard because I thought Die Hard and Fast and Furious were the same thing.
Oh,
so.
You could not possibly be more wrong. it's one of the more quotable movies ever. Lots of quotes. You will start recognizing. It's like reading Hitchhiker's Guide or something like that, right? Sure. You're going to start seeing a bunch of quotes and you're going to start getting a bunch of jokes that you would not have gotten before. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks from now, we'll be back. We'll have notes and sound clips from It's a Wonderful Life and Die Hard, the first Die Hard. Don't worry about the rest of them. Die Harder. Die Hard with a Vengeance. Don't worry so much about the
stupid.
Don't worry so much about the others. Although Samuel Jackson showed up in one of them, and that was pretty cool. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. But again, thank you so much for sharing Monster Factory. And this is working out better than I had ever hoped, because I'm actually enjoying the stuff that you're having me do.
Oh, did you expect not to enjoy?
Not expect to enjoy everything that you assigned me.
Yeah. I knew because before you started playing DDLC, I could like feel the loathing that I made you play a dating sim. Like honestly very enjoyable.
I'm sure it was.
To see your innocence before thinking it's a dating sim.
Yeah, so you can keep assigning me McElroy stuff all you want.
I will. Yeah. I will keep making you watch all McElroy content because you are a coward and a fool who has not listened to any Mabim Bam yet.
I have not listened to any Mabim Bam. Okay, cool. You ready to get out of here?
Yeah.
What do we say?
All right. So, thank you guys so much for watching. Wait, we didn't do any of the clues. I'm doing my thingy.
An answer? Okay, well, I think it's listening. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. We haven't done any housekeeping at all. Okay, do some housekeeping and get us out of here.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to recommend stuff for us to watch or listen to on the podcast, then make sure to hit us up over at @validatemecast on Twitter or validatemepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for watching and commenting on the videos. We have comments on the videos, but we didn't pull them up because we forgot to. So we'll read your comments next time. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, bear with us.